You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Welcome back to another thrilling, I promise, very cool episode of the Toilet of Hell radio show. I am your host today, Brent Aside, and with me today is nobody. I have absolutely nobody. So as we know, Jordan is still on a long hiatus. He's still on break, taking care of his personal issues, and then I have Joe, who had to travel out of town for family. So today, you just get me. And it's not like I haven't recorded podcasts completely by myself before. This is something I've done multiple times on my own shows. It's okay. You're just going to get one dude who knows his stuff and doesn't have any distractions and is able to just go through the news as it's presented. So I guess the one positive of this would be is that starting out this episode, no bullshit, no weirdness, no just random talks about our weekend adventures or how hungover we are, which I am incredibly, nothing like that. It's just we're going to go right into the news. We're going to talk about all the stuff that you came onto the show to listen to, the stuff that you skipped 10 minutes ahead for. We're going to get right into that. So I got all my tabs up. I got all my news articles out and ready here for all you guys. We're going to have a good time on the show. We're just going to have me read things out. I'm going to report the news to you, and then I'll comment as necessary. So the first thing I'm going to be starting off with today is what's that? What's that noise? No! No! It can't be! Oh, God! It's him! He's back!
Look out! Oh,
some of you may have been wondering where I've been these last few weeks. Truth be told, I needed to take a step back, recalibrate, figure things out. For too long, I felt marginalized, pushed to the side, just another cog in the Toilet of Hell machine. I felt like I was the third wheel on this podcast. I thought, maybe it's time to just call it quits. Time to hang up my podcasting microphone. Fade away like all the Joey DeMeos and Todd Joneses of the world. Then, like a bolt of lightning, it hit me. My God, it's not me at all. I'm not the third wheel. I'm the only wheel keeping this thing moving. I'm the complete circle, and I'm stuck between these two squares. On one side, who isn't even here today, we've got Joe Thrashenkill, the leader of the Toilet of Hell, the Austin Strangler, King Communist, the Socialist Swami. What a joke. The only thing he doesn't redistribute is good opinions. Hey Joe, tell me something. When you begrudgingly vote for Beto O'Rourke for governor of Texas, are you going to use a hammer and sickle to check off the box next to his name? Yeah, that's what I thought. On the other side, we've got Brennison, the wicked pisser himself. The loudest voice in the smallest room. The Spider Daddy. If you follow him on Twitter, you know his life is an open book. Yeah, too bad that book is long overdue back at the library. How's the gear buying going, Brenno? Can't wait to hear you use it with your band that's never going to exist. Well, I'm here to say enough is enough, and it's time for a change. A change back to the old ways. You can't move forward without looking towards your past. Finally, the heavy metal world is right on track again. Finally, insightful commentary and actually funny jokes are returning. Finally, 365 Days of Horror has come back to the Toilet of Hell podcast.
Wow. So my feelings aren't hurt. I'm sure Joe's aren't either, but buddy, it's glad to have you back. I got to say,
it's called working stiff.
Yeah, no, I know, man. It's working stiff, right? Like, what do they say when they're really heavy handed in like Japanese wrestling?
Oh, that hard style.
Hard style. Yeah, you've always been hard style, and the show's been soft style lately. We've been getting along too well, me and Joe, and you know, we needed to have the bad boy back, the true bad boy of the internet. Not the golden child we once known you as. You know, this is the heel turn for Jordan. This is a big deal.
I'm back with a leather jacket now. My hair is cut differently. I don't kiss babies and shake hands anymore.
You got some ridiculous mohawk, and we just set it up so you have one scene where you gotta just uppercut Daniel Bryan's balls so everyone can just adjust accordingly to the style that you're going for now.
Instant heel turn. Everyone knows now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? Heavy metal's stupid. You've all wasted your life. There.
I think everybody's in agreement with that. Everyone listening, me, Joe, everybody, so...
Yeah, there's some people who still take this way too seriously.
Are there? Yeah, you know, I mean, what?
They probably don't listen to the show.
No,
but they're out there.
Definitely not. I think we used to have people like that to listen to the show, but we've long since run them off.
Good.
So I mean, as far as you know, you taking all the time off, we're glad to have you back. We're stoked that you're sorted out. Everything's just kind of working more into your favor now, and yeah, people can actually tune into the show to hear who they wanted to hear. We've had zero listeners the entire time you've been gone.
Well, it's not your fault. It's been warm outside, really, really, really warm outside.
Very warm.
People are going out and congregating and spitting in each other's faces. Well, I, you know, still wear my mask outside and still try to avoid people as much as possible.
Right. I think in the pandemic, everybody got addicted to podcasts. And that's when you really, like, as a podcaster, had the time to become successful and really grow your brand. And we just completely failed the entire year to do that. So we're just going to stick with who we got. And that's who we are now.
We're just not outrageous enough.
No, never will be, never have been. But that's okay, because nothing is more critical in this world, in any world, than the metal news. We got to talk
metal
about
zone.
The metal. Kick on your metal zone, boys, and crank that gain to 10, because we're going into the metal news zone.
It's like when I see someone tweet out, like, oh, can anyone recommend metal podcasts? Like, once in a while we might get mentioned, but it's always a string of ats and names that I just never heard of. Like, oh, I love the guys at the Horns Up Forever Metal podcast. And I'll just be like, well, who is this? And I'll follow the Twitter link to it, and it's like 10,000 followers. What?
Irons Up the Ass Metal podcast. The Metallica Minute.
There's like at least 50 or 60 Kiss podcasts.
Black t-shirt with a logo show.
The Bubbling Cauldron on Stitcher.
The Devil's Hell Ball Music World Worldwide.
.org.
.net. .com. .org. .au. Don't listen to the Australian ones. They're all racist. There isn't a single non-racist Australian one.
Wow, now we're calling people out.
It's my favorite country because of that, okay? I'm sorry, Australia. You just keep doing what you know?
I mean, if you tried to make Australia today, you never would be able to.
Yeah, I mean, look, North America, whether it's America or Canada, we have no blood in our hands in terms of race or, you know, ethnicity. Nothing we've ever done wrong, ever.
It's not in the history book, so it couldn't have happened.
It's not even in the news. But what is in the news is Dark Throne, and that's critical. Dark Throne is a black metal band from the time when all seven black metal bands started in the one country they were allowed to start. And we all know about Fenriz, of course. Fenriz is kind of the head honcho in that project. He's the face of it. He does all the vocals. He does pretty much all the instruments. But who you should also remember, of course, is Nocturno Culto, which is a very legitimate name for an adult to still refer to himself as.
I like to refer to him as Not Fenriz Culto.
Not Fenriz, yeah. So The only reason I'm bringing this up, this is something that just kind of popped into my news feed this morning. Revolver Magazine, is that a magazine you still subscribe to and have sent to your mailbox every month, Jordan?
You're already starting off poorly by saying Revolver Magazine.
Everyone's already just like closing the browser. It's over.
God. Can't wait to hear about the guys from Atreyu and what they're up to again.
Yeah. So if you're on revolvermag.com, you have this this top marquee, the top bar there, and it's Revolver Music. Okay, is one of the segment. Music is really should be the only thing you read about. And then next to it is culture. And if you click on culture, don't do it, because you're gonna have to read opinions, and these are not opinions you want shared.
Is it music culture, or is it just, I don't know, what are people doing for Arbor Day?
Well, the first news that I see is something about how there's going to be an Odorous Arungus action figure.
Right. Culture.
It's like, just let the man rest in peace. Don't make money off of his death. Like, I just don't do that.
If you want to honor the man, you buy the 10-inch plastic figurine and then stick it up your butt.
Right. Then you got a story about Triple H creating NXT, the NXT heavy metal family, more specifically, which is important.
They keep having Poppy on like every 6 months.
Oh, that's cool. And then you got Metallica's. Have we talked about this? The fucking Metallica Black Album whiskey.
No, I don't think we have.
Okay, so Metallica has put out a whiskey called Blackened, and I guess the big gimmick of the whiskey is that every bottle gets, like, the Black Album played at it, like the speakers are pointing at it while the fucking band is performing, and it really just inherits the tone of the album.
It just tastes like an old dungaree jacket.
This month to celebrate one of the best-selling albums in the last 30 years, Blackened American Whiskey is pairing the heavy metal classic with a special new batch. Unveiled in 2018, Blackened began as a collaboration between Metallica and revered distiller Dave Pickerel. Y'all know Dave Pickerel, right? If you know the name Dave Pickerel. If y'all know the name Dave Pickerel, you have a problem. Dave Pickerel of Sweet Amber Distilling. Pickerel employed his innovative black noise process to hammer their special blend of whiskeys with low-frequency sound, transforming the molecular structure of the whiskey while enhancing and intensifying certain flavor notes and nuances. In the past, each batch of Blackened has been quote-unquote finished using specially curated playlists of Metallica music, but Batch 114... created by Blackened master distiller and blender Rob Dietrich, who stepped into the role following Pickerel's untimely death in November 2019, was using the Black Album in its entirety. So that's, yeah. Okay, so it's not the band playing into the album. It's just speakers pointed at the whiskey, and fucking the Black Album is blared at the whiskey. That's all that happens.
So you can drink alcohol that was blasted with music to also torture Iraqi prisoners of war.
Exactly. And it's funny you bring that up, because somebody had said Norwegian death metal last night at, like, I had a few people over because they meant Norwegian black metal. But it just reminded me of this Lars Ulrich interview where he referred to that as a music they should use instead of Metallica's music, like, oh, they should be using Norwegian death metal or something, you know.
Yeah, he was talking about Meshuggah, right?
Yeah, he was definitely talking about Meshuggah, or he could have been talking about Dark Throne with Nocturno Culto and his opinion. So back to Revolver here and how they handle business. I got this on my newsfeed this morning, and the headline reads as follows: Dark Throne's Nocturno Culto, Why Black Metal Has Lost Its Power.
Oh no. Here we go.
Yeah, right. It's like, this train's never late. We're going to find out what his fucking opinions are on black metal and why it's lost its power. And when you hear this, you immediately think of a lot of the articles we've read before about the sanctity of lady black metal being disturbed by all these hipster beardos playing it with flowers and glitter in their beard. And how
melody.
and how the pronoun crowd is taken over. That kind of shit. So I was just interested because I was like, great, we got a new guy that we can hear from today in terms of that. But this is what he says. Okay. He says, because the person interviewing him had thrown out the word black metal in terms of Dark Throne style. And Nocturno responds, before when you said you refer to our old albums as the black metal stuff, that's exactly right. People don't regard us as black metal anymore, I guess. I think black metal is a very overused term. It has lost its power. I think it's all metal. And the one thing that you can call black metal these days is probably our sound. Basically, we just play metal. And that's literally all he said in regards to that. And go ahead.
What a normal, nuanced, calm human being response.
Because the fucking headline to this article is Nocturnal Culto says why black metal has lost its power. And he just said, it's, you know, terms overused. Basically, we just play metal. That's it.
Fair.
Yeah. What else can you say to that? Except Revolver needs to fucking work on its headlines. But, I mean, hey, I could say that, but they got me. Here I am. I clicked on it because they knew what that headline usually means.
Yeah, it's the business of getting you to read things. You probably wouldn't have read it if, you know, black metal musician says normal thing. That's a headline we would have.
Yeah, if it was just like something about how Nocturno Culto was inspired by creator-inspired riffs, I wouldn't have read that because that's not fun. It's all about black metal losing its power. That's what I want to know about, because usually that turns like anti-Semitic or something insane. Like if I'm thinking of what's that awful blog that seems to always get the dumbest takes from these musicians that we constantly reference?
Death Metal Underground?
Not Death Metal Underground. It's that other one with the bigger name.
Bardo Methodology.
Bardo Methodology. That's the one.
Thesaurus book of the heavy metal world.
Don't quote the artist. Just put everything he says in brackets so that you can just use the highest syllable synonyms you can think of in terms of, you know, what words to use to express anything.
Casually throwing around, like Proust once said.
I have read a lot of Nietzsche.
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 That's right. When I pronounce his name, I don't even bother. I'm just like, Nietzsche. It's probably Nietzsche. I don't care. Whatever. Nietzsche.
Believe it or not, he doesn't come up in a lot of my daily conversations.
That's just your slave mentality talking, Jordan.
Yeah, that must be it.
So that's that. Not really news. We got some other fun stuff related to black metal that appeared before us this week, though. Jordan, why don't you handle the story here with that?
Oh, what an amazing public failure that happened just the other day on Twitter. With GQ, of all places.
Yeah, much bigger magazine than Revolver, right?
You're a big GQ reader, right?
Oh, it really just dictates my entire style in terms of work, casualness, dates, the watches I own and wear. It's just, you know, if GQ doesn't discuss it or advertise it, I don't own it.
Yeah, for the international listeners who don't know what GQ is, GQ stands for Gorgoroth Quarterly.
Yeah.
No, it's a gentleman quarterly. It's initially started like, and it still is for the most part, like a men's fashion magazine. And, you know, try this Metallica whiskey has to compare to other heavy metal whiskeys that you definitely should not drink because it's just a gimmick and it's all taken from the same bathtub in Pittsburgh. But they had an article that came out a couple days ago. The best sleeveless shirts for men to beat the heat like a total badass. Sleeveless shirts in Gentleman Quarterly.
Right. So I don't know if the people of Gentleman Quarterly know this, but we as entrepreneurs of our own style, you could say, we've been just taking shirts that aren't sleeveless and making them sleeveless for about 70 years now.
Since sleeves were invented, dudes have been cutting them off.
Right. Since like the any days of a band logo on a t-shirt, we've been able to figure out how to scissor our way around the seam there. And some of us don't. Some of us just shred it open.
Lots of scissoring going on in the heavy metal world.
Lots of scissoring. Scissor me timbers.
But, and, you know, even heavy metal blogs and magazines do this too. It's, well, we need to talk about something. And it's, well, I guess sleeveless shirts are in because I say so.
Because it's warm outside. How thematic.
And it's an innocuous article because, I mean, really, what can you get into with cut off your sleeves, bro? But the thing is, what made people raise their eyebrows and be kind of upset at GQ is the initial header image of this article featured what's his name, Riz Ahmed from Sound of Metal, wearing a sleeveless Gizem shirt, which is pretty funny on its own if you know who Gizem is and kind of what they're known for in their crazy shows, like blasting out a flamethrower on top of their audience, which you could find on YouTube and things like that. It also has a sleeveless picture of, what's that punchable young actor's face? Charlemagne? Timothy Chalamet, that's it.
Yeah.
Hollywood's most punchable face right now. And whatever, that's fine. But it's the third person that they included on this header image, which was Chloe Sevigny. Now,
not a man.
I don't know about Chloe's personal life, but as far as I know, Chloe Sevigny is not a man. And I'm not making a joke about it. It's just, why are you doing that? But the problem is that she was wearing a Burzum sleeveless t-shirt on this article about how men's are beating the heat like total badasses.
Yeah, and it's an interesting situation because not only it just goes to show like how badly this specific author needed to feature a Burzum sleeveless shirt because they couldn't find a celebrity in one except Chloe Sevigny.
They do mention Chloe Sevigny in the article like ever so briefly, and like I don't know why.
I don't know, but it's just. I remember the backlash, of course, but I think you're leading into that. It's just it was just so silly, and I mean the author of this particular article, and this was an article that was posted online, obviously, so it might not even be like I don't think we're ever going to see this in print.
Calling it an article is generous. It's like four paragraphs.
Yeah, pretty much, and he. I think I found him discussing like true Norwegian black metal somewhere on his Twitter, kind of looking.
Yeah,
into
I have his Twitter account up.
Oh, perfect. I'll let you lead the role here then.
So like initially this picture was tweeted out and people went like, dude, Google it, please Google who this guy is. And so I think GQ initially tweeted this out and he's retweeted and all that. Sun's out. Vintage Norwegian black metal sleeveless tees out. And, you know, people are like, dude, Google him. And after assuming after he Googled it, went, definitely did not do my research into the Chloe image and the problematic band on the t-shirt. Yes, problematic. That's the word we want to use.
Right, problematic.
I take full responsibility and apologize for that. Thanks to all who flagged this to me. I appreciate you calling me out. I've had the image removed. So, yeah, he just Googled Chloe Sevigny sleeveless t-shirt and just went, here you go. Here's a picture. Put it in. I mean, we forget sometimes because we're so into heavy metal and the background stuff and the kind of side things and all this information that it's obvious to us. But, you know, the average person on the street doesn't know who or what a Burzum is. So, you know, I believe that he just went, hey, here's a picture. Put it in.
Yeah, it kind of speaks volumes about the whole metal scene because number one, These t-shirts are widely distributed and available for sale in like places that are reputable.
You could easily buy like Burzum merch off Walmart. We've discussed before.
Yeah, you can just buy Burzum t-shirts anywhere. So they're around. You see dudes wearing them. There's like this funny meme going around of this like Pornhub screenshot of this just random dude leading this very porn star looking lady off to do who knows what with like a Burzum t-shirt on.
What can happen?
I can imagine you know what happens next. But they're just
taxes,
right? And I saw a dude in a Burzum t-shirt just like working in Lowe's with like his apron on, but also a Burzum t-shirt, and that's what he wore to work, like in public. So what am I gonna do? Write an email to Lowe's and be like, "Oh, this person," like I could lose it and freak out. And some people did that to GQ. They're like, "Oh, you're conspirators with the Nazi regime because you published a Burzum shirt." But fuck, of course they didn't know, you know. And they immediately took it down, which good for them.
Yeah, it was a dinky online article about sleeveless t-shirts, and they just threw the pictures together. I don't think this is some subversive thing to try to get shitty Nazi synth music into the public discourse. Yeah. But, you know, and it lets you know kind of the editorial process that goes along with some of these online articles that you see. No one Googled who he was. Probably couldn't even read the name on a shirt, really.
Probably, so, yeah.
You know, they took their lumps and they got rid of it. And now the article just has the header image is just without Chloe Sevigny.
So. She literally just disappears. There's like this big open spot where she's supposed to be. It's kind of awkward.
It's like Back to the Future. She's been erased from history, like Marty's family.
Just fades away.
Someone went back into the past and changed it.
Yeah. It's very awkward. And yeah, I mean, like, you guys couldn't just find like a different sleeveless shirt someone was wearing. No Metallica, no Iron Maiden, really. No Nirvana. It's like
articles complain about this all the time with celebrities wearing metal shirts. I'm sure one of them was sleeveless at some point. I'm sure Miley Cyrus wore a Metallica shirt without sleeves.
I have a Kylie Jenner image in my mind's eye of her wearing the sleeveless Slayer shirt that set off Gary Holt and his opinions.
Handing a Pepsi to a riot policeman.
Just need to hand a Pepsi to Gary Holt. He needs to calm down about that.
Well, he stopped drinking, so maybe a Pepsi would help him out a little bit.
Perfect. Well, we'll set him up with one. I don't know. This always kind of like there's like a little 14-year-old kid inside me that is always going to be like, "You posers, you can't wear those shirts. Fuck off." You know, it's. But rationally, I just don't care that much. Like if multi-million dollar celebrities just want to put on logos that look cool and just.
I mean, it's not even celebrities doing that. For the most part, it's their fashion people, their consultants who tell them what to wear. Because, oh, you're going to be going out today. Let's show people you're down to earth. Here's a Exodus shirt that, you know, we got for $200 off Threadless.
Only $200? Am I really that basic? All right.
Well, it is Exodus. I mean, if it was a higher caliber of thrash metal band, it might be more expensive.
Maybe everyone will appreciate my Christian values displayed on the shirt. I don't know. It's like not. I don't think it's a sexist thing. I just think it's like a class thing. I would get more angry at the dudes wearing it. Like if I saw Colin Farrell in a cut off sleeveless Burzum shirt, I'd probably expect him to be more of an out of the no dickhead kind of thing. But,
I'm glad they took it down. I'm glad people called it out, but I just don't see any sinister means behind this.
No, of course not. It was just a mistake, but a funny mistake nonetheless.
You know, it's not Jordan Peterson wearing a Burzum shirt in one of his videos.
I wouldn't put it past him, honestly.
Clean up your room and Heil Hitler.
Right. What's what else is on the docket today? We get anything else coming down the timeline that tickled your fancy?
I know you guys have talked about it in past episodes, but all of these tours being announced, and all just like mega, huge, gigantic, first time ever tours that are just springing up all over the place, and it's cool. Like, I wish all the best of luck to the bands, and I hope people have fun. I don't know if I'm going to a show this year. I just don't know if I have it in me. Definitely not this summer.
Don't think so?
I don't think so. I mean, it's helpful that I live in a place where a lot of these good shows are skipping over.
Yeah.
So that's definitely part of it. I just need more time just to get used to being around people. Like I said, when I go out, I still have a mask on, even though I'm fully vaccinated. I'm just still a little shell-shocked over the past year and a half of saying, don't go near people. Don't go near people. Don't let them breathe on you.
Right.
I've seen enough horror movies where, it looks like the coast is clear. I'm going to stick my head out, and then a zombie chomps on someone's skull. So I'm just make sure everything's cool for a little while. And on top of that, the older I get, the more health issues and injuries I have stacking up. It's a pain enough to go to a show already, and just having the stupidest person in every show because I managed to attract these people being near me and putting their arm around me and drunkenly yelling lyrics. It's just not yet.
Just putting their giant smelly body somewhere in the 5.5 inches you stood from the guardrail.
Yeah, it's like I still think back to when Madball had that illegal show in New York City, like really before people started getting lots of vaccination shots, and people just crawling all over each other and going nuts. And it's just like, I can't handle that. Like,
it's pretty much at the beginning. So yeah, no, it's pretty much the most dangerous thing to do in a pandemic or post-pandemic world in terms of like germ transfer. Those shows, they're packed super tight. There's just everybody's breathing on each other. Everybody's spitting on each other. You're just covered in it. There's not enough showers you can take. It's just the grossest thing that people can do is go to these metal shows, especially ones that are really packed, which they're going to be. People are excited to be back to any of these shows. And there are some really fucking insane ones, right? Like you have Shadows Fall reuniting at the Palladium. And
that's going to sell out, guaranteed.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm like, I think tickets started selling or they're going to start selling in a week or two. And I'm just, I know I'm going to miss it, but I'm going to be like, oh, drat, you know?
Yeah. I mean, when I saw that, I'm like, maybe. Or like Gwar and Napalm Death are touring. It's like, I kind of want to go to that, but it's far off. And like, my opinion might change. Like, it's only June. When like October and November roll around, they might be like, okay, everything's fine. Like I'm good to go. It's just right now, even going out to like pick up food or run errands, seeing so many people packing in bars. It's just, it doesn't feel good yet. You know, it's the rush to return to normalcy is what everyone else is doing. And I'm still just kind of, I don't know.
I'm totally with you there. I see a lot of more attention-grabbing headlines about the Delta variant. And of course, if you actually read these articles, you'll find 6.5 paragraphs in. If you have the vaccine, likely the Delta variant isn't going to affect you either. But they cover that all up because they want people to be fucking terrified and clicking on their bullshit. But again, like there are variants of this COVID vaccine. COVID virus, the vaccine is not 100% effective. It's not.
Yeah.
That's not, no vaccine ever has been. We've all had stories of getting a flu shot and then getting a real flu like months later. It happens. So I don't know. I don't think that I trust least of all a bunch of metalheads to have gotten the vaccine.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of Aaron Lewis. Like, I can see him not getting vaccinated and just going to these shows in some of the least vaccinated states and people coughing on each other, singing, where were you when the towers fell? And, you know, just these little things cropping up. Like, it does happen with the flu or these unvaccinated communities where suddenly smallpox is back. You know. And with the way variants are going and things are changing, I would be really annoyed and mad if I went through a year and a half of living in isolation and avoiding people as best as possible just to get it now.
Yeah. I mean, we've been doing the right thing for so long, and I didn't get sick all that year. I did not get sick like once. It wasn't up until I got the vaccine when I got that, you know, the symptoms you get after getting the second shot of like, I think I did get Pfizer, but, after I stopped wearing the mask, like I was vaccinated, I decided that it was time because my personal thought was, if I don't think it's safe now, what actual time frame am I gonna think it's safe? So I started going to work and out and about without my mask, and wouldn't you know it, I caught a regular ass cold, just a cold, like sniffling, coughing, people avoiding me. And because I still had to go to work because my PTO is not that great at this new job, I fucking put my mask back on as a way to, you know, do the right thing. Because now that I know, all right, I don't want to spread these cold germs. I don't want to get other people sick. And, you know, my mind goes back to all those photos of China and Japan where people do that stuff if they're on trains, or they'll go to school with the mask on if on those days they're sick. And I think that's just what everybody should do.
They won't. They should, but they won't.
Should, but they won't. And that's the American dream.
Being away from people, and specifically being away from parents with their snotty, coffee little kids going to preschool and being around other snotty little kids. I didn't get sick all year.
Oh, yeah. They like one thing that skeeved me out was when the government changed the opening dates to coincide with schools going back. You know what I mean? Like, it just gave me a little in my stomach. And that's you just kind of think that there's ulterior motives to these sort of things happening, that they're economical decisions rather than human safety ones. But what the fuck are you gonna do to where we live?
Yeah, so eventually I'm sure I'll get over all of this trauma, but not quite yet. I've seen people saying, like, I just bought tickets to 10 different shows. I'm just like, there's really 10 different shows you want to go to? Okay. I mean, that's right. Cool.
Because now we recognize the sample size. We recognize the bacterial culture of each one of those shows and like how you're just 10 times in your chances of getting sick now if you get to go to fucking 10 shows in 2 weeks.
People are just so excited to get out and go to concerts again. One thing I noticed was people were really, really excited to see Limp Bizkit go on tour.
Where's Limp Bizkit touring? That's not just Hellfest, right? They're doing like a whole other tour.
No, they're touring with the band Spirit Box, who I think is like an up and coming hard rock metal band. So,
really?
You know, at least good for them for like taking out a new band. But it kind of reminded me of how there's been a resurgence of people accepting ICP. Like, for years, they were just kind of a joke and put down by normies. And now it's kind of like, oh, they're not so bad. It's kind of fun. They're not hurting anyone. And I feel like the same thing's happening with Limp Bizkit. Like, there was the initial people liking them and then people growing out of that sort of thing in nu metal and that sort of late 90s, early 2000s aggressive bro culture. And then they kind of became a joke for 15 years. And all of a sudden, I think the people who initially liked them and then started to not like them are in their mid-30s. And they're like, yeah, we'll get a sitter for the Jaden and Hayden and Faden.
And Caleb.
And, and Michaela and Kayla and Caleb, and you know, we'll rock out to Break Stuff while paying $18 for a Michelob Ultra in a plastic bottle.
Wow, you definitely described a guy and a half.
I'm not wrong.
And not, no, no, no. I mean, it's just it's the reality of aging for a lot of regular American people.
It is.
And I was I was working in the factory on a Saturday just for some overtime. And when we go in on Saturday, the rules are just a little bit looser. We're allowed to listen to music. And so
you can unbutton your pants while you work.
Yeah. I can go in pantsless if I want. So there was probably this like 20, 21 year old kid there who was playing his Spotify playlist on my assembly line. And he was playing like all of the stuff from when I was in high school. I mean, Slipknot, System of a Down, Limp Bizkit, all of this stuff. And initially I'm just like, you know, what the fuck? I can't believe people still listen to this stuff. But then I kind of recognized that, okay, this guy is this age. How did I feel when I was around this age or in high school and this music was around for me? And it's just like, well, I was just a pissed off, jaded white dude and nothing seemed to make sense. And that music, that angsty nu metal music was there for me during that time. And I was able to buy it like as the albums were brand new coming out. And I kind of realized, and I was talking to the guy about this, that there's no music like that for kids these days. Mm-hmm. They have to go back in time to get it.
That really was the golden era of the angry suburban white teenager. And, you know, we've talked about this before, and I know some people come back to us and be like, well, we still have a modern rock radio station where I live. Where we live, it's really disappeared. I mean, in my state, I do not have a modern rock radio station. In part because rock music has kind of fallen out of fashion over the past 10 years. And it's what new rock does come out is like the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
There isn't that edge or something that speaks to a 16-year-old that is unhappy.
And we've talked about the syndication of the radio with like iHeartRadio and how the only way an FM radio company can still exist is if they play stuff that this like major pop internet company knows is what people want to hear. And
everything's a Cumulus station.
Yeah.
Radio One, iHeartRadio. So the best you're going to get for a lot of places is Fridays, midnight to two is, you know, the Metal Cage, where you'll hear Slipknot maybe, or you might hear Judas Priest. Like, even then, a lot of them don't get that hard. Maybe some Megadeth, I don't know.
Like the radio.
The occasional new band that, you know, a label is pushing, they'll play them for a week or two and then it's just gone. So the best thing you can do is come to the toilet of hell and learn all of these bands.
You get to listen to that one Killswitch Engage song that was on the Resident Evil 2 soundtrack where they had to edit it so that Howard didn't scream as much to scare the people who might have heard it on the radio.
Seek me.
So, yeah, a lot of people don't realize that back in FM radio times, like, they would play Mudvayne Dig on the radio. Burper Ding, like, that was on the fucking radio. And that's...
They would play that on MTV in the middle of the day.
Yeah, that was, like, such... It was borderline death metal, if not actually death metal, and it was on the fucking radio. And I didn't appreciate it for what it was, because now you would never hear that shit. Ever.
I mean, maybe that has something to do with, I guess, this Limp Bizkit resurgence. You've got the older fans who just want a slice of nostalgia or a little connection to what it felt like to be alive when they were young and their bodies didn't hurt all the time. And then you have these younger fans who never got a chance to see Break Stuff Live or, you know, Nookie. And it's exciting for them. So I guess in a way that sort of makes sense. I still don't like it.
Yeah.
I know I'm the new metal guy here, but even in my days where I actively purchased and enjoyed this music, I was never a Limp Bizkit fan.
Yeah. And I mean, on Instagram and, in front of high schools, you're going to see like teenage boys and girls come out wearing the stuff that we wore in like 2002, 2003, when we were trying to be edgy. I'm a little disappointed in the fact that it's like y'all can't just come up with your new silly edginess. You got to come cop ours with the JNCO jeans and the big fucking trip pants. But I don't know, man. I don't think there's ever going to be an aesthetic that ridiculous again. So if you're looking for a peak ridiculous aesthetic, I think we nailed it back then.
And we're not going to wear clown wigs and clown shoes. That's not going to be the new look.
I mean, a lot of the people kind of do that in spirit when I see them discussing their takes online in terms of music and fashion. I'm probably doing that right now, talking about the damn Zoomers and being an old man yelling at cloud. But yeah, I'm going to swallow my words in a few years. They're going to come up with the silliest shit and I'm just going to be mad at it. So.
And that's just age, you know, it's, you're cool 1 minute and then you're old the next, and everything that's coming out now is strange and scary.
Who else is strange and scary in the news these days? Do we have anything else on our rap sheet here?
I don't know about strange and scary, but I did see that a Quebecois death metal band named Obvert played at an elementary school recently, and there's video of it on YouTube. It's little kids in their playground watching a death metal band. There is a reason why their band is playing there. The front man teaches music at the school.
Oh.
So it's not like they just set up during recess and started playing. But it is such a weird... The kids are having fun. So good for that. But it is a weird thing. And they're a death metal band. They don't seem to lessen some of the gurgles and growls just because there's six-year-olds in front of them. It got me thinking of like other weird places we might see shows now that we're like starting to come out of this, like just public pop up, Corns in Central Park, come see us, things like that.
Pepe's Pizza Parlor.
What the fuck is up, Denny's?
I don't know.
Cause people are going to want that, I think. It's just this is crazy and different. Look at us. We're outside now. Let's go to the Arby's parking lot and see Blood Incantation.
Yeah, fucking apocalypse is happening outside my window, so I'm sorry if everybody hears all the sirens. But I think music, live music, has been just something that people have wanted for so long that they are going to stick it everywhere. What that live music necessarily is going to be, I doubt it will be death metal. I'm sure you're going to get a lot more blues and jazz bands and the same four guys that every place has playing all of the classic rock hits that you hear 40 times every day on those classic rock stations. They'll be there. They'll be doing it. But I'd be interested to see where metal ends up, because I hope we get metal music in more weird places because people are that desperate for live performance.
And a lot of these smaller venues have closed over the past year and a half, too. It does remind me of, we actually had an article on Toilet of Hell about 4 years ago. Our friend Justin wrote it, where the band Beherit played a mall battle of the bands in 1990.
Oh, I saw that.
I'd like to see more of that. Just black metal, death metal, grindcore in a mall.
Yeah.
Like Tiffany used to play in a mall.
I think that you'll never win, but to make a point for what every battle of the bands should be like, there should be a death metal band, as inappropriate as it is among the rest of the setup there. Like everyone should have some ridiculous death metal band that nobody claps for. It's just how it should be.
It makes for good YouTube videos.
Yeah. Just like Beherit. Where was that mall at? Was that like in their home country?
Their home country.
Yeah. So maybe that's more typical in that area. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, metal is more accepted in European countries than it is here. I mean, You're not going to see too many power violence bands playing the Mall of America in like Minnesota.
Like Ronnie James Dio said, if it doesn't sell pimple cream, you can't advertise for it. It's not music anyone wants to listen to in America.
And then he did a beer commercial.
Oh, no. Oh, that's not wrong. Rest in peace, Ronnie. We miss you. I want to, I don't know. I just want to close this off by saying that we're happy to have you back, Jordan. We hope to hear from you more often once Joe's back and we're going to have the whole trio back. I think everything will be right as rain. Like the universe will be balanced where it wasn't before.
Yeah, well, it has been a year, and I'll leave it at that. But I'm still here, so that's cool, I guess.
Yeah,
for what it's worth.
I had there's literally a fucking parade. That's why
a parade, but is it like a 4th of July parade that's a week early, so they can get theirs in before the popular one?
I can't even fucking imagine, but my only response would be to go outside and scream for them to shut the fuck up.
I mean, you do live next to Juggalos. Is it like their video for Let's Go All the Way?
Just like the gathering.
Just the gathering, just walking down your street.
Shit, it might be Pride. I don't know. I could be an asshole.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
It's still Pride.
Yeah, we got a day or two left here. So anyway, speaking of Pride, I'm proud to be a podcaster. That's definitely something. Podcasters should be at Pride. We should have our own little flag and everyone should boo us.
Can't get Pride, but no podcasters at Pride. No podcasters, no cops.
No podcasters, no cops. Do we have anything just else?
Holding up a Toilet of Hell banner as you, me, and Joe walk with portable microphones, just commenting on bands from 25 years ago that no one could possibly care about now.
we just have like our parade float there is just a porta potty on like a truck hitch just rolling behind us.
And it's like the Parade of Roses in California every year. It's a porta potty made out of 1,000 petunias.
Everyone just demands we leave.
Throwing stuff at us, batteries, car keys.
I mean, that's my life anyway. All right, everybody. I think we'll close it off with that. Next week we plan to have Joe back, and then the Triforce of Power will return, and you will get the best episode of Toilet of Hell that you've had in a very long time. Take care, keep it metal, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.